What you can hear are the haunting, if esoteric, sounds of the Calliope organ, because I'm here on the American Queen, which is the largest steamboat paddler in the whole of the world, and we are slowly nudging up the Mississippi River in the southern Mississippi, traveling from New Orleans to the exotic locale of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Let's go travel.
I don't know what time it is where you are. Welcome to episode 2 of the It Was Mardi Gras. So this is 6 weeks later than I originally planned, Shandy Pockets, a travel podcast. I'm Paul Oswell, the person saying English words out of his mouth. Coming up on this travel nugget, I sail up the Mississippi on a massive paddle boat. We meet a man and his historic organ. Geneva Joy Hughes completes her guide to travelling in Ghana and the Ivory Coast. And all the bits you've come to know and love from that one episode that you probably didn't listen to that I did 6 weeks ago. Real and fake travel news, reviews and more. Shandy Pockets podcast, of course, or the Shandy podcast, as absolutely nobody is calling it just yet, is an audio supplement to the Shandy Pockets online internet website. It is a online travel magazine with a blog element, and not, I repeat, not a travel blog, aside from for the express purposes of winning blog awards, in which case, in the words of 90s Britpop hip-hop heroes, credit to the nation, call it what you want. Stop fooling around. Call it what you want. Don't be wrong. Call it what you want. Call it what you want. Don't be wrong. Call it what you want. Whatever happened to Credit to the Nation, by the way? Probably a subject for another podcast. One concerned with 90s hip hop, perhaps, and not travel. Yes. Anyway, let's not get bogged down in that. The upshot is, please go to shandypockets.com for reviews, features, and shameless plugs for all my self-published books. All right, let's get to the episode. What are the runners and riders for today? We've got that ride up the Mississippi River on the American Queen. But first of all, let's get to it. Here's your traffic and travel. As always, there's no traffic news because this is a podcast and not local radio, despite how it might very much sound. In travel news, this is actual real travel news. The most powerful passport in the world has been revealed to be the German passport, which at this time gets you into 176 countries without a visa, though after Angela Merkel's visit to the White House. That will likely be down to 175 in the coming days. British Airways have announced a new transatlantic budget airline called Level, with trendy designs and in-flight technology, seemingly aimed at a millennial traveller. I'm assured that the airline will not employ any pilots who can't even. And lastly, it's been announced that a new Hard Rock Cafe will be opening in Malta in 2020. News also arrives that the island will shortly afterwards be welcoming cable television, internet cafes, and mobile telephones. Well done, Malta.
The noise you can hear is the engine of a boat, but no ordinary boat, because I am recording live on a very rainy afternoon on the Mississippi River on the decks of the American Queen, which is the largest steam paddle boat in the whole of the world. We are meandering slowly up the Mississippi River from New Orleans to Baton Rouge, an hour by car, but thanks to the unbridled twistiness of the Mississippi River, it's a two-day journey by steamboat. If you've ever wished you were part of the video for Karma Camellia by Culture Club, and this is definitely the boat for you. It's around 400 passengers, 150 crew. But let's find out more from the boat's general manager.
I'm Corey Coles. I'm the hotel manager on the American Queen.
Okay, and how long have you been in that position?
This is actually my first season with the American Queen in this position.
Wow. Right.
I was hotel manager for the past 2 years, and then I had been maitre d' as well as head waiter and waiter on the American Queen.
On the American Queen. Mm-hmm. So how long have you been on board in total, working here on the boat?
A little over 2 years.
Okay. And before that, you were just in normal hotels or on liners? Or
no, I've been on boats for 6 years.
Boats. Okay. Mm-hmm. What kind of boat were you on before this?
I was on huge ocean liner, and then went to smaller boats, between 22 passengers, 84 passengers.
Okay.
More active boats.
Yeah.
Than the American Queen.
Okay. Yep. What's the main difference between, because I was thinking about this, I haven't really done a huge ocean liner trip, but what's the biggest difference, would you say, in terms of passenger experience?
Having the personable service.
Yeah.
Knowing who your server is, getting to know guests, kind of creating new friendships. On big ocean liners, you don't necessarily get that.
Right. Does that breed a lot of repeat custom, like people coming on the boat to do different tours and requesting the same room so they get the same?
The smaller boats do, yes.
Yeah.
We have a lot of repeat guests on the American Queen.
Right.
I took a different opportunity for 2 years, and then I came back.
Right.
And I still saw familiar faces,
okay.
And they still knew my name, and I still knew them. So, you know, they come on, and it just creates a different kind of excitement.
Yeah, at the show last night, or one of the, like, little preview shows, they asked who's the first time is it, and it was only about half the audience.
Yep.
So I was like, this is probably most, oh, wow. Like,
it happens
like 50%.
Every week.
Yeah.
Every week.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it speaks well to the service and the experience. I mean,
yeah,
people must
and
love
that's,
it.
We pride ourselves on that. You know, it's nice meeting new people,
uh-huh.
But it creates an easier workplace when you know exactly what you drink, what they want, what they need in their state.
This is really my first river cruise, really. What would you say for first time people who are considering it, and it would be their first time, in terms of expectations? How do you sell to first time cruise buyers?
I would say relax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially the American culture of always go, go, go.
Right.
Relax, go out in a rocking chair,
uh-huh.
Put your feet up. This is, the lower Mississippi has a ton of history and culture.
Right.
That a lot aren't accustomed to.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from New Jersey.
Right.
It's completely different.
Different world, yeah.
Try something new.
Mm-hmm.
I love trying new food. And you know, just take in the river.
Yeah.
It's slow moving.
Right.
And it almost makes you relax
a
little bit.
But and this is also like a journey back in time. What do you think it is about the romance of that specific period? Like why do people love being on a steamboat?
It it's different.
Yeah.
You know, this is the largest steam boat in the world.
Right.
And it's steam powered. And the beauty of the Tiffany glass, the beauty of all the antiques on board. You know, it's not like a 5-star hotel that you're going to get on land.
Right.
Your staterooms have an antique feeling. It takes our clientele specifically back to their own homes.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Where were the period details taken from? These are replications of actual details from other ships.
The J.M. White was actually a steamboat.
Okay.
And that's what our dining room is a replication of.
Right.
Our theater is actually a replication of Ford's Theater.
Right. That's amazing, by the way. The theater is so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Now, one of the world's biggest fears is that robots are going to take over every job in the world. But listen to this, it's 2017, and the man we're about to meet, Phil Westbrook, is a piano player on a literal steamboat. In your face technology, and let's meet Phil.
You're an entertainer on a steamboat ship on Mississippi in 2017. That's fairly astonishing to say, right?
Largest paddle wheel steamboat in the world.
How many people can say that in the world? Not many.
Well, right now about 160 crew members can say that.
Okay, no, but to be an entertainer.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that in this day and age that job would exist?
Yeah, I know it.
That's pretty good. How did you get here?
I got a phone call 18 years ago from somebody I'd worked with on another ship out in Alaska.
Okay.
And was a dance host. Went to work for the Delta Queen Steamboat Company at that time. And he called me and said, "Phil, I'm working for the Delta Queen Steamboat Company out of New Orleans." And he said, "They need a piano player for the Mississippi Queen, and I gave him your name." And I said, "Well, thanks." "Thanks, Sheldon," I said. Of course, I'd never heard of the Delta Queen Steamboat Company.
Right.
So my wife and I went to a place they call the Internet. You've heard of it.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
And and we found the website, and they had the three, at that time on the Mississippi, the three boats. They had this boat, the American Queen, the Delta Queen, and the Mississippi Queen.
Right.
And boy, showboats.
Yeah.
You know, paddle wheel showboats.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very exciting idea. And the curiosity of it all is that the Delta Queen Steamboat Company actually called, because over the years as an entertainer, the number of people who've said, you know, "We can open a door for you,"
right,
is a huge number of people, but actually two people
in my
history have followed through. And the first person got me the job on the ship in Alaska, where I met Sheldon,
right,
and he was the second person.
Wow.
Delta Queen called and they hired me. You know, entertainers work where they can. You
right,
know,
and but where would you grown up and started your career?
I grew up in New York, upstate New York.
Okay.
But musically, I didn't start until I'd been married for 10 years. I got married when I was 18. And,
right.
And about 10 years into it, my wife said, "Go be a musician."
Right.
"It's time," you know. At which point I started, you know, getting work as a musician. It was about 1980, 81.
Okay.
And in 1981, you could get a job, even a marginally acceptable musician could get a job, because there were lots of jobs.
Uh-huh.
Live music was everywhere.
What do you like so much about it? You must like it.
Well, this boat,
so
I've been here for a long time. It's the fourth owner I've had. Mm-hmm. You know, they keep calling me back because I guess I've made an impression.
Mm-hmm.
This room is, the captain's bar is kind of my room.
Yeah.
And I like the size of it. We carry 400 passengers and about 160 or 70 crew. And I like the smallness of it.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it's in America. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that if there's a big emergency and we all have to go home, I can get on a bus.
Right.
I'm not stuck out in the Mediterranean somewhere with no way to get back. You know, so I can make a phone call here without it costing me an arm and a leg in a communication.
How much time are you on board?
I do 6 weeks on the boat with 2 weeks off, and
okay,
I work through the year. So I'm on the boat approximately 8 months a year.
Yeah.
With little breaks along the way.
And where were you based when you where do you live?
Well, now I live in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And the flights are easier.
Yeah.
Right. Las Vegas. We used to live in Washington State, and you know, But we just recently moved to Las Vegas.
Right. But you must know all the destinations along the
route. I've been to everywhere the boat goes, I've been.
And, what are some of your highlights?
I like places like Madison, Indiana, and Dubuque, Iowa, Red Wing, Minnesota, La Crosse, Wisconsin.
These are kind of the lower key destinations, really. On the
they are the smaller towns, but they're probably the most charming and very interesting. They're lovely. The people are great. I think in the one of the things that I talk about when I do my show in here every night is particularly in the lower Mississippi, people are not going to be overwhelmed by the castles in Spain.
Right.
You know, we're driving by right now as we talk. We're driving by barges and container ships and refineries.
Mm.
And, you know, there's a little bit of mud out there because the river is low and the trees haven't blossomed. So there's, you know, there they are. They're there, but they're not blossomed out yet. And so visually it isn't a sparkling feast of, you know, as I say, like a castle in Spain.
Right.
But what happens is when you get off the boat and you visit some of these lovely little towns, you meet the people in them. And the people go out of their way.
Yeah.
And you end up falling in love with the actual American life that's out here on the land.
Yeah.
And you get very impressed with it. And we've had tremendous stories of kindness and neighborliness and good Samaritan type of stuff that's happened from the people on land toward our passengers, toward our crew. I've received all kinds of wonderful treatment from people just by going into a town and saying, hey, I need to get to a mailbox.
Right.
Christmas time, 15 years ago, I needed to get to a mailbox.
Yeah.
And the one at the top of the hill in Natchez was closed. But a fellow there was getting his mail at the little boxes out in the lobby.
Right.
Asked him where the closest, he said, oh, closest station, probably about 6 miles away by the hospital. And I said, well, that's not really a walk, is it? He said, no. Would you like a ride? I said, sure.
Yeah.
So he gave me a ride. And he gave me a ride on his way. He said, I got to stop at my house on the way, if you can wait a minute.
Yeah.
His house is one of those antebellum mansions that,
right.
that people visit in the spring. It's this marvelous place, all decked out for Christmas. His wife gave me a tour. And then he took me to the post office, and then I did my posting and got in the car, and he says, where do you need to go now? I said, well, there was a store at the mall we passed a couple of miles back. Okay, I'll take you there. And he took me there. And I got out, and he said, I can wait for you.
Wow.
And I said, I thanked him then, and I said, no, you've gone, you didn't wait too much, and I really appreciate it. And he said, well, my pleasure.
Wow, that's awesome.
Totally, I didn't ask him for this.
No.
They just offer it, and they'll do it for you. And they've done it for passengers and crew alike, up and down the rivers, from places like Cape Girardeau, Missouri, to Hannibal, Missouri, you know, out to Pittsburgh, and a little town called Marietta, Ohio, which is a lovely town.
Yeah.
And down to Chattanooga, to places like Decatur, and you know, little towns that generally would not be on your bucket list.
Exactly.
But it's those little towns, it's those little stops betwixt and between the big cities.
Yeah,
Cincinnati is a lovely town. You know, St. Louis has got its charm. It's got the big arch.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota, St. Paul's beautiful. Red Wing is a lovely little town. And it's those little towns and the people in them that really make the impact. Mm-hmm. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. It's really, you know, I see these people every year. I've got businesses in Natchez where I do business. I got my eye doctor in Natchez.
Yeah.
I got my printer in Natchez. Okay. I got my cleaners in Natchez. Huh. I got a dentist there that'll clean my teeth if I need it. And, you know, people will take my mail if I need something mailed to me.
That's
the guy
amazing.
At the end of the hill bar, a guy named Andre. The boat parks right there at the historic Under the Hill bar. It's right on Silver Street.
Amazing.
He'll take your mail.
Yeah.
He'll hold it for you.
All right. That's cool. And, I mean, you must see the same people coming back on the boat
On the boat, we have
a lot of repeat visitors.
We have people who come back, you know, we call them recidivists, right? Mm-hmm. Frequent floaters.
Right.
They're totally enamored of the whole experience.
Yeah.
And they come back and they may be on the same run that they've been on numerous times before. We have a fellow on now who's been on well over 100 cruises with the boats. And it is just his home away from home. He loves it. And it's not where we go. It's the boat itself.
Right.
The
exactly.
boat is the show. And I tell everybody that too, is ultimately you know, St. Francisville has its charm, mm-hmm. but you're going to come back to this boat, not because of where it goes, but because of the boat itself and the people on it,
yeah.
you know, and the relationships that we've created yeah. with people over the years.
Uh-huh. What kind of thing do people generally want to hear musically? I know you probably play a wide variety of things.
A little bit of everything. Yeah. I do a 3,000 or so different songs of different okay. genres. I do a country night. I do a 50s, 60s sing-along.
Do you make it geographically?
Broadway
night. Does it depend where you are on the river? Or
not really. No? Not really, because okay. people come in from all over the country, right. all over the world for that matter. Uh-huh. I do an Irish sing-along every week.
Okay.
Huge turnout every time. And I could never quite explain that, except that, you know, I'm remarkably good entertainer, I
sure,
guess.
I mean,
tell a lot of. I'm very funny. Whatever
yeah.
it is,
right.
it's just. So there's all, like, you know, we give them all kinds of music. We give
yeah.
them every genre you can think of: mm-hmm. Dixieland and big band and pretty much cover the gamut. And I think what's so attractive about that is that there is so much offered in this 410-foot boat.
Right.
And it's all the kind of things that you really have to search for on land anymore to find.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had a lady here last night, name was Catherine. Haven't met her before, but she came on the boat. She said, I came on the boat to hear some great piano music. And she just sat with me all night, about mm-hmm. 3 hours, you know. A lot of requests. And she said, this is going to bring me back for a bunch of other cruises. Because
wow.
she just loved the, not just this setting, but the
yeah.
Grand Saloon. And she went up to
right.
the engine room bar when I was done here, and she was just enthralled by the, right. By the activity, but
yeah.
the music. And
outside
of
a few hotels, yeah.
yeah,
you're right. That probably doesn't happen in bars like it used to.
You really have to search. You have to hunt, and
yeah.
you have to search. And,
yeah, if you don't live in a city,
yeah.
then you're not going to.
And here we're still a showboat.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the, really the true sense of the word, we're a showboat.
Yeah.
And the boat is, as I say, the show.
It's the show. Well,
yeah.
Long may it continue. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well,
appreciate
thank you
it.
Very much.
You heard me talking to Corey Coles and Phil Westbrook of the American Queen, which is the world's largest paddle steamer. The American Queen Company run a number of different river cruises up and down the Mississippi River, and you can find out more at AmericanQueenSteamboatCompany.com. Now then, last time we heard from New Orleans comedian Geneva Joy Hughes, who had just returned from Ghana and the Ivory Coast, and she had 10 top tips for traveling in that region. Here's part two of her report, recorded live in a market in Abidjan in the Ivory Coast. She gave us 5 tips last week, so this time Geneva Joy Hughes is starting up at tip number 6. Take it away, Geneva Joy.
6 was a mistake I made. Don't come alone. Now, I went to Ghana to meet some people as part of the No Madness Travel Tribe. If you haven't heard about them, look them up. That's the No Madness Travel Tribe. Now, I was coming to Accra because I got a really cheap ticket. No, I'm sorry, Abidjan, because I got a really cheap ticket to Abidjan, and it was only a 7-hour drive between the two cities. So I was originally going to road trip it with a friend, but she couldn't come. And I got a cheap flight between the two cities. They're not far apart. And it saved me about $800. I'll get to that, too. It saved me about $800. And I was like, oh, you know, I've been to Abidjan in 1997 when I was 17. I really loved it. You couldn't have told me that I wouldn't have brought a house here by the time I was this old. It was just, I loved it. It was very, like, Parisian feeling, but also very African. And everybody was very accepting and embracing. It was a beautiful city. Fast forward to 2017, almost 20 years later. Well, 20 years later, to be exact. This is not the same city I remember Abidjan. It's a lot more gritty. It's grown. It's definitely grown in the 20 years. And it also had like a 10-year civil war, I believe. And the result is evident. Like it's just not the same city I remember. And I'm also here alone, so it might be part of the fact that I don't have someone showing me around. I'm exploring. I'm doing what I want to do while I'm here. I do want to try to get to the beaches. They have a lovely black sand beach. It's not even really black sand. It's almost brown. Like when you see the beach without anybody walking in it, it almost looks like a mahogany table. It's amazing. And I believe that's in Grand Bassam. And I might try to make it there tomorrow, but I don't know because I'm really tired. And I'm tired of overpaying for taxis. Yeah, so like, I'm here alone. It's kind of boring. I have met some people. I'm hanging out with some people from the tribe here. I found my little favorite restaurant to go to. It's not that bad, but like when you're in another country, especially a country that you don't speak the language, being alone can be a little bit tiresome. So I'm a little mad at all those episodes of Lonely Planet and Thirsty Traveler I watched. They kind of cat me up to think I could come here by myself. But it's all right. I'll be home. I leave Saturday. And I think I'll just take a chill day in my room. But I wouldn't suggest you come alone. There's so much going on. You should just have someone else around you. Number 7. Oh, my food is here. Yay. Oh gosh. So I have a big old salad. I don't think I've had greens in like days. I have some alico, which is fried plantains. I have to go wash my hands. And I also have some fried chicken and a cheque coming. So this is about to be a whole table of food. It's going to cost me like under $10. That's amazing. Which brings us to our next point. It is not expensive to come to Africa, anywhere in the continent, to be honest, if you know what to do. So first off, let me take a pause. Hold on. I need to wash my hands. I can't pause this. It's not expensive at all. I got my flight from Newark to Abidjan for about $830 US. And then I got a flight from Abidjan to Ghana, to Accra, for... I'm sorry, that trickle sound you hear is me washing my hands, because you eat with your hands in Abidjan. And in Ghana, in most places too, actually. So I got my flight for about 8-something, and then my connecting flight for about 2-something. Oh, I'm so excited. This looks so good. No photos for you. Oh, where's my cheque? This is so good. It's going to be so hard to finish this while I'm eating. But I'm going to do it. So, like, I used a tool called the Hopper. Download the Hopper app. It shows you the best flight for you. It shows you if it changes your dates. If you change your dates, how much the flight price changes. It tells you when to change your airport. It tells you... Oh, God. You guys are going to lose me. It tells you even when to buy it to save more money. And it tells you that the flight is going to go down in cost over the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And it even watches the flight and alerts you when you should buy the flight. So when you use tools like that and look out for flight deals and things like this, you can really come here for way cheaper. Had I not used that tool, my flight would have cost me $1,600. I paid half, you know what I mean? So it's great.
Thank you to Geneva Joy Hughes, a New Orleans comedian. We will be concluding her guide to Ghana and the Ivory Coast next week. Just time this week to leave you with some incoming and breaking fake news, some fake travel news here. London, the city, is celebrating the 350th anniversary of the Great Fire of London this year. That event so called, as it was originally a very popular fire. Richard Branson is to be granted UNESCO World Heritage status, apparently. The organisation say it will celebrate him as a, quote, significant ongoing ecological and biological process. And finally, the city of Dubai is to be completely demolished and rebuilt, as the royal family there say they want to start again with, quote, a modicum of taste and human decency. I'm just kidding, of course. Dubai as a destination will remain terrible. Okay, that's the gavel on all the travel that's fit to unravel. A special thanks to my guests Corey Coles and Phil Westbrook of the American Queen, to Geneva Joy Hughes, and to Paul Garside, who composed this delicious incidental music. You can find more of him at soundcloud.com/EPGarside, and you can find all the details of the things featured in this week's show on the internet at shandypockets.com. We'll be back soon with more travel news, views, and next time a walking tour of London's gangsterish East End. That's it from me this time. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. 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 Bye.